Good evening. Welcome to the 15th November Planning Commission meeting. We have, for our guidelines for testifying, out of respect for people speaking, please mute all microphones, cell phones, and other electronic devices. And if you can hold actively speaking down while others are testifying, that's helpful. And when testifying, please state your name and area of residence for the record. The Planning Commission guidelines are, we have three options available for public meetings and hearings. For internet users, the Zoom raise the hand will signal, click that to signal you'd like to comment. Your sound will be unmuted when your name is announced and at the appropriate time. For call-in users, phone star 9 on your keypad will signal you'd like to comment. When the last four digits of your phone number are announced, the sound will be unmuted. And also, sometimes if you're not unmuted, use star 6 to unmute your phone. And then we do accept written comments. There's two ways. Written comments can be presented to the staff members to be read at the meeting. And then email can also be sent in. All of that has to happen 2 p.m. on the day prior to the meetings. Those comments will be read during the meeting and subject to the time limits. To ensure the comments are read at the proper meeting, please include the date of the meeting that the comments are intended for, your name and area, and the agenda item that you're commenting on. We do have on general comments a 2-minute limit and on public hearings, 3 minutes. Those are subject to change depending on the amount of people participating. With that, we will go to introductions. On my right,
Jonathan Tunan, South Kitsap.
Richard Shattuck, Central Kitsap.
Alan Beam, Central Kitsap.
And then online,
Stacy Smith, representing South Kitsap.
Thank you.
Aaron Murphy, North Kitsap.
Okay. And
Stephen Bow from Central Kitsap.
Okay. With that, we will go to, we already did the protocol. Do I have a motion for adoption of the agenda?
I move to adopt the agenda.
All right.
I'll second.
All right. With that, I would recommend, since we have a public hearing this evening, that we modify the agenda slightly with skipping the first public comment so we can go straight to the hearing. And then we still have the public comment at the end of the meeting, if that's agreeable to the members. I see nods of heads, so I'm going to say yes, it is. Okay. Oh, and the published, if you're reading the late or an old version of the meeting, we did have an extra finding of facts, but that was eliminated. So we're good on that. All right. And there is no adoption of minutes because they're not ready at this time. And we will go to the public hearing for the countywide planning policies update. And Mr. Baker?
We need a vote on the adopting the agenda for tonight. You got a motion and a second, but we need a vote.
I'm sorry. Those in favor of the agenda as amended, please raise your hands. Yep, it's unanimous. Okay. So now we will do the public hearing for the countywide planning policy update. Mr. Baker?
Hi, I'll go ahead and present on that today, actually.
Excuse me?
I'm going to be presenting on the CPPs tonight.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Cohen. Mr. Brock.
And please let me know if you have any trouble with hearing me. My microphone has been a little bit off lately. I haven't been able to get the headset working. So just stop me if you can't hear me too well.
Okay. So far, you're loud and clear.
Great. I'll go ahead and introduce myself. I'm Colin Poff. I'm the Long Range Planning Supervisor for the Long Range Planning Division here in Department of Community Development. So I'm here today to talk about the countywide planning policies. If you recall, 2 weeks ago, Eric Baker did present at the work study for the countywide planning policies. So I want to go over something that's pretty similar to the material that he gave you then today. I don't have a formal presentation, but want to show you the countywide planning policies and particularly show you the growth targets, because that's what we're looking at today is the growth targets. So I want to show those and then describe kind of how the countywide planning policies fit into the overall scheme of things in terms of regional planning and the state and at the state level and leading to our comprehensive plan update. So we're bringing the countywide planning policies to you today because those have already gone through a pretty rigorous process with the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council. That's the county and different cities getting together and looking at those growth targets. And those were recently adopted or recently approved by the KRCC. And so now we're here at the Planning Commission. We'll take it through the Board of Commissioners. Ultimately, if adopted, it would then be ratified by the individual cities and incorporated or implemented by them in their local plans. So what are countywide planning policies? I'll go ahead and share my screen here so that we can see them. Great. And can everyone see that all right?
Yeah.
So, first, this is the document Vision 2050. So this is the Puget Sound Regional Council's regional document. So I'll describe that as well. But basically what countywide planning policies are countywide for Kitsap County, a framework for local plans for different cities in the county and for Kitsap County. So it's a framework and it establishes coordination at the county level and at the regional level. So the countywide planning policies, much like you see in a comprehensive plan, talk about land use, transportation, specifically about rural lands for counties and things like that. So the important thing with countywide planning policies is that they are consistent with the regional strategy, which you can see is this document here, as well as state level, which of course is the Growth Management Act. And we need to have consistency kind of down the line, down the hierarchy. Now there is some kind of local flexibility at the local level with our comprehensive plans. But generally speaking, this needs to all be consistent in order to have a certifiable plan. So this is Vision 2050, which is a document created by the Puget Sound Regional Council. The regional council is a four-county region that we're in. So that's Kitsap, Snohomish, King, and Pierce. And this document has multi-county planning policies across all four counties and also looks at a regional growth strategy where it takes a projected population through the year 2050 and allocates that to different cities in the region, to unincorporated urban areas and also to rural areas. So that's important to understand. And then consistent with this adopted document, our countywide planning policies are established by the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council, which actually get together in a room and look at those population allocations and do a little bit of trading, but essentially come up with growth targets for all of the jurisdictions that are consistent with this. And important to note that, this consistency kind of at the end of the day is important to ensure also federal funding, and that the PSRC holds the purse, if you will, when it comes to federal transportation dollars. So that's why there's a coordinated transportation plan for the region as well as a growth strategy for that reason. So these countywide planning policies, which were approved by the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council, inform different comprehensive plans for all the cities. So for the county, our comprehensive plan will look to increase densities in our existing urban areas, which hopefully leads to more diverse or affordable housing stock and walkable communities connected by transit. And of course, growth more being more limited in rural areas. I'm gonna go ahead and pull up the growth targets themselves. This is Appendix B in the countywide planning policies. So Appendix B1 and Appendix B2, it's the population distribution or growth targets through the year 2044, as well as employment growth targets through the year 2044. So the countywide planning policies, leading up to this, the larger document was already adopted in the year 2021. A lot of that work has been done with technical policy guidance with substantial environmental review. Those changes were made in 2021 to achieve consistency with Vision 2050 and any state laws that had changed since we last did it in the year 2015. So you could call this phase two of the countywide planning policies, which is to focus on the issue specifically of growth targets through the year 2044. So a lot of that environmental review was kind of already done. We did a SEPA addendum for this, but I just want to make that clear that this is simply for the growth targets or these appendices. So these were negotiated starting at the beginning of this year, the beginning of 2022, between the county and different cities, with a focus on regional centers and high capacity transit areas. Of course, that's a different thing than you look at like in Northgate or something in Seattle. There's no light rail here, but we still have high capacity transit communities, for example, Kingston. And then so that growth was allocated through that kind of process that happened this year already. And I want to point out too, that you'll see in gray, these different rows. These are the types of different cities or areas that Vision 2050 calls out: metropolitan cities, which we have Bremerton as a metropolitan city. Core cities, although not a city, is Silverdale. then high capacity transit communities of Bainbridge Island, Kingston, Port Orchard and its UGA, and Poulsbo and its UGA. And then we have the central Kitsap UGA, and of course our rural areas. So before I kind of move on to talking about going through each one, I want to see if anyone has any questions so far, if I could explain anything further.
Do we have any questions from the commission? No? Pretty good. Yep. And Colin, I would give you a heads up. When you lean back, your voice kind of dims a bit. So
yeah, I thought
as
that was
Amanda good. Says, lean in.
Okay, and hopefully you got everything. If I need to repeat anything, please let me know, but thanks for that.
Okay.
So I'll just go over through this briefly. You can see here we have Bremerton, which gets the most growth, as the Silverdale, Kingston, Port Orchard are heavily focused for growth. And you'll see down here that rural is very limited. And just to make clear how this table works, you have your jurisdictions. The next row is the 2020 population. So that's our census population here on the left. Our population targets are the for the year 2044. So a 20-year population target on the right-hand column. And here would be the growth that needs to be achieved in the middle to achieve that target. So just to make that clear. But you'll see that, of course, in rural areas, it is quite low and lower than years past. And then when you consider that our rural capacity. We already have, you know, quite a bit of rural capacity and substandard lots. So that's important to point out. And I'll also say that these countywide planning policies are pretty well established kind of at a top-down level, right? But there is some flexibility in local implementation. Generally, when these are established, what these growth targets actually are, there is a range, but we want to be somewhere in the middle unless we have a really good reason to deviate from that. And of course, that can lead to questions or appeals as to whether we're consistent with the Growth Management Act. But, you know, there is a little bit of room there, but I will say not much. So I'll keep going down. In Kingston, you'll also see substantial growth relative to its smaller population. It was recently designated as a high capacity transit community. So that would be the reason why for that. So it's a countywide growth center. And then if you look at the Central Kitsap UGA, actually has a kind of a smaller proportion of growth. That's because the Central Kitsap UGA is not associated with any city or not looking at any annexations. So that's important to note as well. That's the reason. And we didn't really argue with PSRC on that front, nor did we choose to really argue with the smaller number that you'll see here for rural areas. 5,400 is really not a large number for a 20-year growth for rural areas. So there's an effort to bend the needle towards an urban-rural split, more towards the urban, of course. So I'll go ahead and move on just briefly to, along the same lines, talk about our new 2044 employment targets. So this is the same type of chart, but just with jobs, right? And Kitsap has less jobs than housing. There's a goal in growth management to increase our jobs housing balance to be more aligned. We don't necessarily have a perfect number here. Bremerton has an asterisk there. We don't know necessarily what comes from military installations. Of course, there's some coordination there, but we just don't have perfect numbers based on that. So important to note with employment allocations, but just generally speaking, Bremerton will takes a lot of those jobs. And of course, Silverdale does too. Silverdale is a regional growth center, which means a focus of a population and job growth, and as well as a decent amount there in Kingston, not as much. So in summary, we have an ordinance that we sent to you, that's the draft ordinance to recommend these countywide planning policies. Again, that's just the appendix B. I want to reiterate again, this went through approval of the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council, and now it's going through that county process. And this will inform the county as well as all of the cities as they go through their respective comprehensive planning efforts over the next couple of years. So after this, it will be ratified by the cities. I think that's all I wanted to present. I can pull up the ordinance itself if you'd like me to. It's pretty short and just kind of goes, it's procedural, goes over what I kind of just describe, but I'm happy to pull that up or answer any questions.
Would anybody like to have that presented? No? Okay. No, I think we're good with that at this time.
Yep.
And that's the end of your presentation, Colin?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. At this point, we will open the floor for the public hearing. Do I have anybody wishing to comment? Mr. Palmer.
Okay.
Okay.
I've got a couple of questions, then a statement, and then some critique of the countywide planning policy. My questions are, if the KRCC has already adopted these countywide planning policies, what's the likelihood that in the public hearing process at the county or the cities, that any changes could be made to the policies. I'll await my answer for that after I make some other comments. My concern is that the document that called the countywide planning policies is mixing ordinance type statements with policy statements. Now, for background, I've been an urban planner for 50 years. I've written lots of policy statements as well as drafted ordinances. And I know the difference between a policy statement and an ordinance statement. In the pages basically between 13 and 24, you have 32 instances of ordinance mandate type language and not policy language. That's enough for me to conclude that this document is not ready to be adopted by Kitsap County, nor should it be adopted by any of the cities. I reviewed the countywide planning policies back in 2010 and found many of the same problems that I found in my review of these policies of mixing policy and ordinance statements. I don't know who drafted it, but in my perspective, they need to go back to school and learn how to develop policy statements versus ordinance. On that basis, this document is not ready. If it's already adopted by KRCC, this whole process of the county's public hearing, planning commission, ultimately board of county commissioners, is nothing more than drill, and it's a sham. I feel quite strongly about this because of past experience trying to deal with countywide planning policies that are not policies but mandates. I'm happy to go through examples if there's any question about what I'm saying. Like I said, I just picked out 32 examples, and those 12 or 13 pages. But it's all for naught if the public really doesn't have any say in the process, and only the jurisdictions get to adopt this, never minding what citizen input might contribute. So at this point, I would like clarification from Colin, if he can give it, is, and these are my questions, additional questions. A, who actually is responsible for the draft of policies in this document? Back in 2010, the answer was the planning directors from the cities of the county plus KRCC staff. I don't know if that's the case now, but whoever did it didn't do a good job. So I'd like to know who the participants were. I'd also like to know if, as I said earlier, if it really matters, because since this is already adopted by KRCC, all it has to, you're looking only for ratification by the Board of County Commissioners in their public hearing process, and whatever the citizens say has nothing to do with what has already been decided will be done. I object to that kind of a citizen participation process, just like I object to the mix of mandates with policy. So I can't recommend this document for adoption. I also wonder if in the your presentation of the population projections and the allocations to the various areas, I have reviewed the buildable lands report, so I'm kind of aware with that that document and what it means, but I think it's a disservice to present that kind of a chart without a historical trends chart, like just for the last 10 years. Did the county's goals get met for A, the distribution of population to urban versus rural areas? And did rural areas accommodate more growth than was projected last time around? I'm talking 2016 comprehensive plan, which, by the way, I was a very active participant in that process too, as I have been for all comprehensive plan processes undertaken by the county since 1978.
All right, Mr. Palmer.
Yeah.
I think we've got the understanding of what you're asking for. Mr. Cullen, did you have a response?
Not too much. I can't speak too closely to the process of actually creating the countywide planning policy document. I wasn't there at the table actually when that happened. That was an exercise in 2020 and 2021 to first adopt those countywide planning policies by ordinance then. At that time, they were growth targets through the year 2036, rather than we're updating them for 2044 now. I do know that at the time it did go through a more kind of rigorous process with technical advisory committees, as well as environmental analysis, which would have had some public comment at that time. But I guess generally speaking, it is more of a state mandated kind of a approach rather than kind of where local implementation is where we have more flexibility really, which is with our comprehensive plan. So, I mean, it is kind of unlikely to, unless there's an error that is identified or something to kind of go back to the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council. But there, you know, there has been process that has kind of a history of a process there kind of in the last few years of just then. And then I guess the last part was about the buildable lands. You know, our buildable lands report does look at those historical trends to inform the growth targets that we set. And we also have a land capacity analysis component of that forecasts the trends as well. So the historical trends, but also the direction we're going towards the growth targets. And so that we're realistic, that we're taking measures to kind of bend the needle toward those targets so that these growth targets don't exist kind of on their own, but that they actually lead to an effort to go towards those trends. I don't think I have anything else to add on that.
Okay. I did have just one question about this, and that is, a policy statement is not code, correct?
Correct.
Right. And so you can have a policy statement that says must and do and all that, but unless it's incorporated into the county code, there's no, the policy can't penalize or direct how the county's going. I should say the rules.
Right. Yeah. The implementation of those are in the, you know, our codified standards, et cetera.
Right. Okay. Just so we don't mix that up. Okay. Do I have any other participants wishing to speak? Going once, twice. Okay, I will close the public hearing at this time. And we will move to our next item, which is the finding of facts, the bike and electric vehicle code update. Melissa Shoemaker. There we are.
Hi, thanks. Melissa Shoemaker, senior planner for DCD. I also don't have a presentation. I provided the findings of fact document, the updated ordinance, as well as a brief change matrix. I know the change matrix is not very long, but because the draft ordinance needs to accurately reflect changes that we're actually putting into the code versus changes that we're making through the process, that change matrix is there to capture in underline, strike through, red text, et cetera, the changes that were made during the deliberations at the last meeting. So I can share my screen for any of that. And I guess at that point, it's just up to you all.
Right. So if you could, do we need to put up the finding of facts at this point? Because we're going to be voting on approval of that.
Right. We can, if it's, if it'd be easier visually so you guys can see them on the screen.
Yeah.
Melissa, do you want to project those or?
Yep, I can do it.
Well, can I start with a motion? I move that we adopt the findings of fact as presented by staff.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. So do we want to have a discussion on this at this time? Quick review. Go ahead.
And I would just say that having reviewed the findings, I appreciated the work that Melissa did in making sure that the changes we made during our last meeting were accurately and fairly incorporated into both the draft and the findings. So I didn't see anything that was significant.
Okay. Does any of the other commissioners have anything to say about the drafts or the finding of facts?
I have a question. I don't know if this is, I'm looking at this printout here is regarding section 9. And there's a definition of what was changed. It says bicycle parking shall be located to be protected from motor vehicle maneuvering. What's the relevance of that statement? I don't know, because it doesn't seem to be correct.
It's intended so that it's, basically not just out in the parking lot so that it's, you know, that people's bikes aren't going to get run over by cars by accident.
Yeah, I understand that. It's just the wording doesn't look appropriate.
That was what was proposed and voted on at the last meeting. So.
Okay. Did you see this? Okay, thank you.
I would point out that the parking lot, it's not saying the bikes aren't using the parking lot, that they are parked off the parking lot so that they're not, you know, as they get started, they're not mixing in with traffic right away. And then, so any other questions, comments on this? No? Okay. All those in favor of adopting the finding of facts as amended, please raise your hands. One, two, three. Okay. And that was unanimous. All right. Those are adopted.
Thank you.
All right. And our next item is the general public comment period. Do we have anyone wishing to comment on the public? All right. Mr. Palmer, were you trying to?
Yes, I just wanted to react to your statement that the planning policies are not ordinance. If the language in there says that you shall do something, it has transferred from policy to a mandate, a type of mandate that you find in ordinances. And there are multiple instances where it says you must or you shall do this or you won't be compliant with the countywide fine policies. If it's a policy statement, there are different ways to implement that policy, but when you introduce word shall and must, that changes the complexion of the language and it's no longer policy, it's a mandate. And mandates should not be in policy statements. I can say that as I've had experience in drafting comprehensive plans and also many policy statement type documents. And it's the way it could be done and was not done in this document. Therefore, I continue my objection. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your comment, Mr. Palmer. Do I have any other people wishing to speak at this time on any topic? Once, twice. I will close the general public comment period now and are for the good of the order or commissioner comments. Let me jump in and just say thanks to Ms. Smith for filling in for me. I know it feels like I set you up and then pulled the trigger on you, but I hear you did wonderfully.
Oh, it was a group effort. No, thank you. Thank you for the kind words.
Yeah. Thank you. Any comments from the other commissioners? No? Okay. So do we have a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion.
Motion adjourn. Second?
I'll second.
Everybody in favor? Okay, and we will see you back in December, December 6th. Good night.
Okay. This is Joe, right?
Thank you, everyone.